We're doing Mishle, we're up to what they call the 26th chapter, the 20th Pasuk, 26 Chaf Vav Chaf. Be'efes Eitzim Tichbe'esh, just as without wood, the fire will become extinguished. Without fuel, fire goes out. Uve'en nirgan yishtok madon. By the same token, if there is no one egging on a fight, so then the fight will naturally die out. There's a rule to fights, to arguments, and a person has to recognize that if you just leave it alone, it'll usually burn itself out. It's referring to people who instigate the fight. Usually, when there's a fight between two people, so there's a third party, there's someone who's egging it on. It could be his wife, don't forgive him, don't give in. It could be an external source. Usually, there's someone who's promoting the fight. Now, the promotion might be an action that one of them is taking. If one of them is spreading rumors about the other one, so that's the nirgan. Nirgan doesn't have to be an external person, an external party. It could also be an external action. If one person keeps doing things negative to the other one, so then that's what's keeping the fight going. But we have to realize there's a reason why a fight keeps going. It's not just because of what happened in the past. Our nature is that even if someone did something wrong to us in the past, we can come to terms with it. But if there's something that keeps it going, so then fights don't quiet down. I think that's part of what we have to recognize. Very often, someone wronged us, and it's done, it's over. But we hold on to it. And when we're ready to calm down, we remind ourselves, no, but he did that, and he didn't apologize yet. He didn't make amends yet. So we are the nirgan. We are the instigator. Instigator doesn't have to be external. It's very useful to recognize this, because sometimes we could end the fight if we would only stop instigating ourselves. Pecham legechalim ve'etzim le'esh ve'ish midyanim lechachariv. Just as coals keep the fire burning and wood keeps the flame going, so too an argumentative person is going to keep a fight going. So recognize if there's someone on your team that's into fighting, recognize that they're causing the fights. I don't know. The term Madon is a fight. So I don't know if Midianim are argumentative people. I don't know. This is important because sometimes we see people who are constantly getting into fights, and it would be good for them to recognize that they're instigating the fights. There's a nature that people have. Ish midyanim lechachariv. There are people that around them, there's always action, there's always fighting going on. So Shlomo Amel says, yeah, recognize that that's the source of the fight. They will think the source of the fight is something else. So it's external, it's this happened, that happened. Shlomo Amel says, no. There's that type of personality, and when you encounter that, beware of that. Divrei nirgan. I had a person who we had to settle a question of who owed whom money. They covered certain money. I covered certain money. So they sent me a very vicious email. So, what's the counting between us? So I wrote back, I think the counting is A, B, C, and D, but why are you being vicious? There's no argument between us. I want to find out where we're holding financially, and if I owe you, I'll pay you. If you owe me, you'll pay me. What, why write a vicious email? So they write back another vicious email. Well, you better kach, 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 kach. I said, I'll be happy to do it. I'm not, there's no argument here. Why are you being vicious? I there's no argument. I'm not fighting with you. I agree with you. Let's find out who owes whom, and let's settle it. Well, why are you writing so nastily? So the person writes back, I'm a lawyer. Of course I write nasty. And I thought to myself, no, I know lawyers. They're not nasty people. You don't always have to write nasty just because you're a lawyer. I said, excuse my nastiness, but I'm a lawyer, and that's the only way I know how to write. So I didn't write back, but it's not an excuse. It's a weakness the person has. And people will give themselves excuses. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ish Midyanim, it's a person's nature, L'chal Chariv, to arouse fights. There's no reason. We have to recognize if we have that weakness, so then let's overcome it. Divrei Midan. Maybe Dan. I don't know if it's Midan or Dan. I don't know. Madon is a fight. Divrei Nirgan. When a person is a Nirgan, when a person is a complainer, so then it's as though he's hitting blows. People think if they complain, they did nothing wrong. Boy, it's cold in here. Boy, it's late in here. Boy, I'm tired. Boy, I wish there were more air. Boy, I wish there were more heat. Boy, I wish there were more classes. Boy, I wish there were more free time. Boy, I wish there were more trips. Boy, I wish there were more time in class so we can maximize our time here. A person can always look at what's going on and complain. And there's no problem to always complain. I wish there were more food at dinner. I wish there were more variety at dinner. I wish they would give more of that meal that I like at dinner. There are always reasons to complain. Shlomo HaMelech says, recognize, the complainer is kimit lahamim. It's like a person that's punching you. Don't think that a complaint is irrelevant. It's very relevant. When a person complains, they're weakening the people around them. A krechts, a kvetch, is someone who is weakening those around them. Divrei nirgan, the words of a complainer, kimit lahamim, are like giving blows to other people. Vehem yaredu chadrei vaten, and they are blows that go down to the depths of the stomach. It's not like it stays external. It goes in, and it eats away at a person. Recognize that complaints weaken people. And we have to try and be positive people. And even if we have complaints, let's not be a nirgan. Let's not be a complainer. And the nature is we will have complaints. And whatever you do in life, people will complain to you. You have to also know how to deal with complainers. Sometimes the key is smiling. Sometimes the key is saying, do you have an alternative? Someone came over to me and said, you know, it would be nice if the yeshiva would have a few spare rolls. I said, are you willing to pick up some spare rolls? There are bakeries that will give us extra rolls. I don't have time for that. So you're willing to complain about the problem. You're not willing to be a part of the solution. Whenever people complain to me, I always ask them, can you be a part of the solution? I hear the problem. I'm not arguing with you. It would be better. Can you be a part of the solution? If you cannot be a part of the solution, then why are you complaining? Does anyone owe you anything? Did you pay for a service you didn't receive? Or are you getting more than you paid for to begin with? And then why are you complaining? We also have to be able to try and be slick, Teflon, not to let the complaints weaken us. Our nature is yaldu chadrei vaten. It can eat away at a person. A person works very hard at doing things so that they're good for everyone, and then people come complaining. Very often, the complaint is a reflection of the complainer. Very often, people complain because they're upset, because they've had a hard day, because they can't see what's good and what's happened. And we have to be able to discern how much of this complaint has merit, especially when people complain about things that happened already. Then why are you complaining? It's a done deal. What's going to be accomplished by the complaint? You want to share with me your negative emotion? Who says I want to have that shared with me? I'm telling you food for thought, because these are tools we can use so as to be weakened less by the complainers. There will always be complainers. Yes. I think the nirgan is the one who points out the faults. So in the case of a fight, he's pointing out the faults, the reason the fight should continue. In the case of the complainer, he's pointing out the faults in his complaints.
Okay, so it's someone who's pointing someone out, so somebody out, not someone who's complaining, instigating. So one's pointing out what's going on wrong, and then the other one is pointing out their issues with the complainer. Okay, so it's not actually the verb.
It's the one who finds fault.
Okay.
כסף סיגים מצופה על חרס, שפתיים דולקים ולב רע. It's like earthenware coated with silver. When a person has burning lips, they speak so wildly, they're so excited, everything's great, but it's not true. ולב רע, and their heart is really evil. Sometimes people can speak as though they're happy, but they're not. This is very dangerous. Those people who show us that they love us, but their heart is evil towards us. A person has to be very aware of people who compliment them. A person has to be very aware of people who seem to be very intent on being close to them. Part of what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us is to be slow to believe when people compliment us or are extra kind to us. Let's make sure we understand if there's an ulterior motive. Well, Shlomo HaMelech is going to two sides. There's the complainer, and then he's saying you might be yearning for compliments. Well, be very aware of the people who compliment, but in their heart they're not with you. You're taking necessary precautions, yes.
Is there some basis to taking precautions?
Because people sometimes speak one way but think another way.
Because people sometimes do one thing, therefore we have to judge people, everyone as a friend one favorable?
Yes.
But that contradicts the direct thing to judge people favorably.
Judging them favorably is when I'm judging their actions that aren't relevant to me. When it's relevant to me, then I have to be aware that maybe there's more than meets the eye. We have to be very aware of people who are complimentary. I said complimentary. I didn't mean to say kind. Sfataim dolakim, when their lips are burning. They got so many nice things to say about you. Okay. Be careful. Bisfatov yinacher sonei. With smooth talk, an enemy can make himself disguised. Yinacher, like nochri. He can disguise from what he really is. Even though he's an enemy. Well, a lot of it depends on what you say. Uv kilbo yashit milma, whereas inside there's a lot of deceit. Ki echanen kolo, al tamin bo, even as he speaks nicely, don't trust him. Ki sheva toivot bilibo, because there's so many disgusting things in his heart. Sheva means many, it doesn't literally mean seven. So this is a very important point.
Sheva,
like the number. Sheva doesn't indicate a number necessarily. Very often, especially in Mishle, Sheva means many. Let's take some practical applications. A neighbor offers to give your kids a ride every morning. That's very nice. You have to talk to your kids and make sure they don't touch them inappropriately. Rebbe takes the kids on a hike, and then he takes your kid alone to talk to him and puts his arm on his shoulder. Everything might be innocent. Everything might be great. You have to make sure everything is innocent and great. Just because people speak kindly and nicely doesn't mean that they're kind and nice. We don't know what's going on in the heart. And so when Shlomo HaMelech tells us, people that speak nicely, don't be quick to believe them. That's very important. Pasuk Chafvav. Tichase sina b'mashaon. A person's hatred is sometimes covered in the dark. We all try to cover what we do. So tichase sina, tikase sina. A person's hatred is sometimes covered b'mashaon, in the dark. Tigale rato bekahal. But even though a person is going to do things that Hashem hates in private, ultimately Hashem will publicly humiliate him and show what he has done wrong. Tigale. Shlomo HaMelech tells us, remember that ultimately Hashem does pay a person back. Kore shachat vayipol. The rule is, when a person digs, kore, he digs, shachat, a pit that's meant to entrap people, vayipol, ultimately it will be his own falling. Right? Aesop's Fables, the pirate who came by a place, there were jagged rocks and there was a bell that would warn people in the fog that they should stay away from the jagged rocks. And he said, why do I care if other people have this warning or not? So he pulled out the bell. And then, years later, he came back to those same jagged rocks. And he was wondering, where are they? How can I make sure I don't destroy my ship? And he died on those jagged rocks that he himself pulled the bell from. So that's this rule. Aesop's Fables took it from Mishle. Kore shachat bayipol. When a person digs a pit to make others fall, ultimately he falls into that same pit. And when a person tries to roll a stone so that that stone will destroy others, so to it ultimately comes back and destroys himself. And this is true about Lashon Hara. People think they can say Lashon Hara about other people and it will only destroy other people. It might destroy other people, but ultimately it destroys themselves too. When we see other people who say Lashon Hara, we take a step back and we say, wait a second, maybe I have to be careful from this person. Who knows what they're going to say about me? And so people's Lashon Hara is very often destructive, not only to the other, but also to themselves. Bilam told Balak, here's how you get the Jewish people to sin. He got 24,000 people dead. He also got himself dead. So he was able to bring the stone to knock down others, but he brought it to knock down himself. Haman would prepare that tree to hang up Mordechai, but he himself would end up hanging on it. Avimelech killed his 70 brothers on one stone, so he was killed with a stone in the end. They tossed the stone out the window and that bashed his head and he died. Avimelech, the son of of Gidon. Pasuk Chafchet, Leshon Sheker, Yisna Dakav. Leshon Sheker, the tongue that lies. Yisna Dakav, he hates the people he's putting down with his lies, even if they've done nothing wrong to him. Another interpretation is when a person accepts Lashon Hara, so then he ends up hating the people they told him about. Yes, the subject of Lashon Hara, we can't help it. We can't help it. No, the subject of the Lashon Hara. And that's what happens. Shaul hears the people of Nov were in cahoots with David. It's not true, but that's the Lashon Hara he hears. He's willing to kill out the whole city of Nov. Sometimes we tell ourselves, I'll hear the Lashon Hara, but it won't affect me. Not true. Yisna dakav. Even if it's Lashon Sheker, even if someone told us a lie, ultimately we hate the people it was said about. It's part of our nature. We hear something, we don't know how to erase it. We can try, we can work, it might be our responsibility, but we're affected. So the Gemara says, ultimately it affects us. So the key is not to listen. People sometimes say, can I tell you Lashon Hara? No, but it might be relevant. Why don't we verify first if it's relevant before you say? Lishon sheker yisnad akav. We hear it, in the end it's hard, almost impossible, not to hate the subject of the lie. Ufe chalak, and when a person speaks smoothly, yase midche. He can make it that a person is pushed off completely. Pushed off completely, our sages say, the one who listens can be pushed off completely from their bon shalom. That's one interpretation. Pechalak, if a person knows how to speak smoothly, yase midche, he could smooth out the hatred that was created. Sometimes we have to know our job is to smooth things out. A guy is all upset at something his kid did, something his wife did, and if you speak to him, you might be able to smooth it out. All wives do that. All kids do that. It's part of bringing up kids. Everyone goes through this. There are ways to smooth things out and help a person deal with their being upset at someone else. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Lishon sheker yisnadaka, when a person hears lies, so then they end up hating the people who they heard the lies about. But fechalak, a person who knows how to talk smoothly, can often smooth things out and placate the matter. Right, so the listener. There is an interpretation that says that way, but Rashi understands it means Lashon Sheker, the one who listens to the Lashon Sheker. Yeah. Yeah. Shlomo HaMelech tells us one of the more famous psukim in Mishle, Al titalel biyom machar. Don't praise yourself about what you're still going to accomplish tomorrow. Very often we say, I'm going to make such and such, I'm going to do such and such, I'm going to learn such and such. Al titalel biyom achar. Don't take pride in what's going to happen tomorrow. Ki lo teida mayeled yom. Because you really don't know what tomorrow will bring. No one knows. We have plans, right? The Yiddish saying, Mensch trocht und Gott locht. Man works and God laughs. We have plans. Shlomo HaMelech says, don't be overly confident in what tomorrow will bring. This is a very important rule. It's part of the rule in time management. You don't know if tomorrow you will accomplish, so you better decide what's important to accomplish today. We often do today what comes to our hands, not necessarily what's most important. I'll get to it. Who says you'll get to it? Okay, we're up to Pasuk Bet. Yes? I think.